So if you guys have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me real quick to Acts chapter 13. And we've been doing this series, again, it's entitled Next Door. And we've been using, I started last week with the illustration of a plane and how in many ways evangelism is like a plane. And so last week we talked about how really before you take off and before you do anything with the plane, you have to make sure that it's fueled up. We talked about how we are compelled by Christ's love, and that's kind of our fuel. And but really with a plane, you need a couple different things. You need to have fuel, you need to have passengers, you need to be able to take off, you need to be able to navigate the flight plan, and you need to be able to land the plane. And so we're going to kind of talk through each one of those steps during each week of this series. And so, again, last week we talked about fueling up, and this week we're going to be talking about the passengers. And so, again, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. We're going to start there, and then if you want to also put your finger over at Acts chapter 11, we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 11 as well. And so, everyone, close your eyes for a minute. Everyone, close your eyes for a moment, and we're going to do an exercise that we did last week as well. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to think of your house. Is everyone getting a mental picture of their house? The outside of their house. Everyone have a mental picture of the outside of their house? Maybe an aerial view of your house. And as you get this mental picture of your house, I want you to start thinking about your neighbors. I want you to start thinking about the home to the left of you, the home to the right of you, the home across the street from you, the home next door to the home across the street from you, the home on the other side of the home across the street from you, the home behind you. And I just want you to start thinking about your neighbors. And yeah, you know the one that's, I'm thinking of my neighbors, and I'm thinking of my neighbor that is shirtless and that likes to listen to Metallica music. I'm thinking of my neighbor who has the cute little dog. I'm thinking about the neighbor that's super quiet. I'm thinking about the neighbors that I have. And when you think about your neighbors, man, it's crazy, at least to me, when I think about these people, and I don't even know all of their names. I know what they look like, but I don't know their names. I don't know their beliefs. I don't know their likes and their dislikes. I don't know much about them. And so the idea behind this series is really the idea that your mission field can be it can be something where you get on a plane and you go overseas and you do crazy things and you build orphanages and do missions work. But your mission field can also be something as simple as just going across the street. You guys can open up your eyes now. Your mission field could also be something as simple as going across the street. And so you might be here today and you might be like, Pastor Evan, my neighbors are crazy and my neighbors are insane and I'm not very comfortable with this message. And perfect, this series is exactly for you. And so, so last week we talked about fueling up, and today we're going to be talking about the passengers. And so, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Now in the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and they sent them off." Can you say the Church of Antioch? The Church of Antioch. It's interesting because the Church of Antioch was one of the first of all, Antioch was one of the largest cities in the Roman world at that time, and the church itself was it was a vibrant church that was doing amazing things for the gospel. It was one of the first churches that included both Greeks and Jews, which was actually kind of scandalous at the time because Jews and Greeks just really didn't have much to do with each other. This church wasn't just any church. This church also was a church that was kind of the base camp for Paul and Barnabas before their missionary journeys. So they would go here and they would be fed, and then they'd go out and they'd go here and they'd be prayed for, and then they'd go out. They'd go here, and the Holy Spirit would speak to them, and then they would go out. And so it was this really vibrant, exciting church that was taking place back a couple thousand years ago when Christians were first like kind of coming out of Jesus's death and burial and resurrection. And so what kind of the idea behind this message is, I really want the brothers and sisters of the church in Antioch from a couple thousand years ago to encourage the brothers and sisters of Taylor Christian. Amen? So I want the brothers and sisters of the church in Antioch, wherever they might be, well, they're probably past by now, wherever they might be, I want them to speak to the brothers and sisters here at Taylor Christian. And so I think really to understand the church a little bit. So again, it was a vibrant church. It was an exciting church. It was a church that had strong missions. It was a church that, man, the Lord was doing exciting things here. The Holy Spirit was speaking. The Holy Spirit was moving. They were fasting. They were praying. It was an alive church. And so to really understand this church, I think we have to take a step back just a couple chapters earlier and take a look at how the church started. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you go back to Acts chapter 11, just two chapters prior, and I'm just going to read this passage of Scripture from 19 down to 26. And it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them." Can you say the Lord's hand? "And a great number." Can you say great number? "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he arrived and saw that the grace of God had been done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was a good man, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and faithful, and a great number," can you say great number? "A great number of people were brought to the Lord." So the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And so news of this church got to the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They're like, hey, some crazy things are happening in Antioch, so we're going to send Barnabas there. And so Barnabas goes there, and Barnabas sees that the Lord is moving, and Barnabas was a good man, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he was filled with faith. And Barnabas gets there, and more people get saved, and more people turn to the Lord. And then Barnabas, in verse 25, went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So they go there, they plant this church. Barnabas, the church in Jerusalem, hears about what's happening in Antioch. So the church in Jerusalem sends Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas is a good guy. They're like, hey, we want to see what's happening in Antioch. We want to go there. Can you go there and see what's happening? So Barnabas goes, and he goes to Antioch, and people are getting saved in great numbers. And Barnabas is like, wow, this is crazy. This is pretty cool. And so Barnabas reaches out to Saul. He's like, Saul, I know you just got converted a couple chapters ago, and this is some crazy stuff that's happening in Antioch. People are getting saved. The Lord's hand is on this city and is on this church. And so, Saul, why don't you come over here and see what's happening in Antioch? Because, man, it's awesome. It's like there's a revival that's breaking out in Antioch, and the Lord's hand is here in Antioch, and there's power, and it's exciting what's happening here in Antioch. So Saul goes to Antioch, and Saul and Barnabas stay in Antioch for a year, and man, the Lord just continues to do some powerful things in Antioch. And man, it's kind of encouraging when you read it and when you look at it and when you see what the Lord was doing there. And so, you know, this church has some interesting characteristics in Antioch. This church of Antioch has some interesting characteristics. And again, I think if the brothers and sisters in Antioch could speak to us, they'd maybe tell us some interesting things about the church. But I think we can see some of the interesting things when we read the passage. When you look at this church, do you realize that this church was birthed through persecution? Interesting, isn't it? Literally, if you go back a couple chapters before chapter 11, you can see that there was a man named Stephen who was proclaiming the good news of the Lord, and they didn't like it, and so they stoned him and they killed him, and it says that Saul was standing there giving approval to his death, and it says in Acts chapter 8 that Saul began to breathe out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and man, Christians were facing all sorts of persecution. They were getting dragged off and they were getting put in prison. They were getting beaten. They were getting beaten. They were getting flogged. They were being killed. It's interesting that this church was, like, persecution was the foundation by which this church was established. I think if these brothers and sisters from Antioch could speak to us today, they would tell us to consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You know, I think sometimes we say, you know what, I'm scared to share my faith because I'm afraid of what people might think of me. I'm scared to share my faith because it's going to make things harder for me. I'm scared to share my faith because my shirtless neighbor is strange. I'm scared to share my faith because I don't know those people and they're quiet. I'm scared to share my faith because my things might be weird. I'm scared to share my faith because I've been watching the news and really, instead of sharing my faith, I think I'm going to build a bomb shelter in my backyard, and I'm going to start drinking rainwater off of the roof, and I'm going to load up on my ammunition, and I'm going to prepare for the apocalypse. I'm scared to share my faith because I'm nervous about the adversity that might come my way. But it's interesting that this church in Antioch was established when persecution was breaking out against the church. This church in Antioch, the Lord's hand was on this church in Antioch when persecution was breaking out against this church. And I also find it very interesting that it was, you know, I don't know if you find this interesting as well, but it's wild to me when I think about it that it says that the believers first identified themselves as Christians in Antioch. Let me read that again. Let me say that again. It says that the believers first identified themselves as Christians in Antioch. To me, it seems like if there's persecution that's breaking out, if you're facing hardships, if you're facing death, if you're facing, trials ahead of you and tribulations. I mean, to me, I feel like I would say to myself, now might not be a good time for me to identify myself as a Christian. Now might be a good time for me to stay low. Now might be a good time for me not to be so low. Now might not be a good time for me to be so vocal. But this church is like, no, listen. Like, we understand that there is hardships. We understand that there is trials in front of us. We understand that the church is being persecuted. We understand that there's going to be incredible difficult times ahead of us. And we, at this moment in time, of incredible persecution, now we are going to identify ourselves as Christians, as people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as people who are unashamed of the good news. We are going to, we're not going to be have a distant association, but we are going to follow Jesus with reckless abandonment in face of persecution. And I think when you look at your mission field, and when you look at your neighbors, and when you look at those who are around you, I want to encourage you to not be afraid, and to realize that Jesus is worth it. Amen? Don't be afraid. Jesus is worth it. And keep on speaking. Keep on penetrating the darkness. Jesus is worth it. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Amen? He has not given us a spirit of fear. This church, in the midst of persecution, stood up against the persecution and identified themselves as followers of Jesus in the midst of persecution. I think this speaks of their faith, and it speaks of their boldness. It speaks of their dedication. It speaks of their reckless abandonment to follow Jesus. And I guess my prayer for you this morning is, Father, just please give us that spirit of strength, Father. Give us that spirit of not being afraid. God, you are worthy of it all. God, may we be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, Father. Even when persecution comes our way, even when hardships come our way, even when the culture comes our way, even when difficulties come our way, may we be people that identify ourselves as Christians and as followers of you. Amen? They were a church that in the midst of persecution, they thrived, and they identified themselves as Christians. Even in the midst of persecution. It's also interesting because the church of Antioch was planted by, take a look at it. If you go back, it says in verse 19, it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews." And then it says, "Some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, some of them." The church of Antioch, it's interesting, was planted by, quote, "some of them." I think one translation says "some people." Isn't that interesting? Like, I feel like if I were to start a church and first of all, I don't think I'd want to start it in a persecuted area. But second of all, I feel like if I could have my pick of anyone from the Bible, this is what I'd do. I would pick Samson as my head usher, next to Lisa, of course. Lisa would be the head usher, but he'd be the enforcer. I would pick Moses he would be a part of the connection committee. Because he'd just be connecting everyone, you know, whatever. I'd pick Gideon. He would actually probably be one of the ushers as well. If anyone misbehaved, he'd just start going crazy. He'd start blowing a trumpet and breaking jar. I don't know what he'd do. I would pick the 12 disciples to be my deacons, except Judas. I wouldn't want him. I'd probably keep Lori and Kristen as they'd take care of the money. I would pick Peter, and I keep Dean, of course, and I'd pick Peter to, Peter would be doing the baptisms, because I think he's the only person that walked on water other than Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool to have Peter up there walking on water, baptizing people, not even getting wet? But it's interesting, because when you read the passage of Scripture, it just says some of them or some people. Some people planted the church. Some of them planted the church. You know, there was just some people. There was some men from Cyprus, and there was some men from Cyrene who came together and planted the church. Just some people. Just some people from Cyprus and Cyrene, some men. Isn't it interesting that this church was established through equipping some people? Just some normal people. Some people, Paul and Al and Judy and Mike and Sue and Todd, and just some people. This thriving, vibrant church that Barnabas had to go check out, that the church in Jerusalem had to come and check out, that Saul had to come and check out. It was planted by some people. It was just some people. I think this is often how God extends and spreads his church and his mission. It's not about us, but it's about him. It's not about pointing people to us, it's about pointing people to him. It's not about the extraordinary things that we can do, but it's about the extraordinary things that our God can do. We aren't pointing people to ourselves, but we're pointing people to Jesus. We're not bringing glory to ourselves, but we're just some people pointing others to Jesus. We don't have to have everything together to point our neighbors to Jesus. We don't have to be the best of the best to point our neighbors to Jesus. God wants to use us, and he's looking for people who are obedient to be used. He just used some people from Cyprus and Cyrene. The church in Antioch was also, and I'm going to be done in just a minute because I want to make sure that all of us can enjoy the waffles. Yay? Yeah, okay. The church, you guys didn't seem too excited. The church in Antioch was also focused on reaching the lost. It almost seems too simple, but if you look at the text again, you can see, now those who had been scattered, again in verse 9, by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. Look at that next phrase. Look at that next portion of the verse, though. Spreading the word only among the Jews. So when persecution broke out, there was a number of people that scattered, and they said, you know what? The good news is only for the Jews. So we're going to go out and we're going to spread the news. You know what? You know, this Samaritan, this Gentile, this, what, like, Jesus is only for this, is only for the Jews. So there were some that scattered from the persecution, but they spread the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The church in Antioch was focused on reaching the lost. They were engaging people from all walks of life. They were going into dangerous environments that no one else was willing to go. They were spreading the good news to every place, to everyone. They were taking directions from Christ's commission to make disciples of all nations. They're reaching the lost. That's interesting because I've heard that they've done studies on church growth and they've said that most church growth is actually church growth where you're simply transferring people from one church to another. So, you know, you'll have people at one church and they're like, you know what, I'm excited being at this one church, but then there's something more exciting over at this other church, and so I'm going to go to this other church because it's more exciting over here. Or I'm going to go into this one church until I get offended, and then I'm going to go to this other church, and then stay there until I get offended again. But they say a lot of times church growth is simply what's happening is we're just shifting sheep from one pasture to another, where it's just you're taking sheep from one spot to another spot to another spot to another spot to another spot. And then, you know, a lot of times you might go to a church and you're like, hey, I remember you from three churches ago. It's, yeah, I remember you from three churches ago too. And it's like, you know, they do these statistics and they're like, oh yeah, so most of church growth is actually people just going to the most exciting place, or people just going to. So it's interesting when you read that and you see that are we as a church, are we shifting sheep, or are we reaching the lost? And the church in Antioch, praise the Lord, was a church that was focused on reaching the lost. Man, that's really the purpose. I mean, our lot party Sunday and our love on Taylor and our back to school, whatever. And it's like it's about reaching the lost. But more so, I think it's interesting because when we've done it in the past, and I've sat down and I've looked, I've talked to the staff about this, and I think I've talked to the board about it too. I'm like, you know, some of the ministry is what we're doing to other people, like helping and loving. But I said, some of the ministry too is, man, when you see someone's eyes who has been following Jesus for a long time, serving, and you see their eyes opened, and you see that they suddenly see that, man, following Jesus is reaching out to the lost. It's reaching out to your neighbors. It's reaching out to those who listen to the loud music and aren't wearing shirts. It's reaching out to those who have, the dog across the street. It's reaching out to those that are hurting, who are in desperate need of a Savior. And this was the church in Antioch. I'm just going to read that verse in 13, those couple verses in 13 again, where it says, "Now the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers." Again, this church was just planted with some people. And it says this church grew, and there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and they sent them off. I wonder what would happen if we worshiped and fasted and let the Spirit speak to us. Where would He send us? Where would He lead us? Who would we come into contact with? What advancements in the gospel would take place? We said, "Lord, here I am. Send me." Lord, today as ambassadors of your gospel, I just pray that you'll equip us and that you'll speak to us, Father, as we worship. May your Spirit speak. And may we listen. May you fill this house with testimonies of how you're using some people to advance your kingdom. Transform us, change us, compel us by your love.